Blog Talk Radio.
And be glad in it. So we thank God that we're here, and we want to start right off today. Make sure we give out our number, our call-in, guest call-in number. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome to call in 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You're welcome to call if you have a comment or if you have a question. We will try to answer it to the best of our ability from the Word of God. We thank God for all of our Twitter followers, all of our Blog Talk friends and Blog Talk followers, also all of our Facebook listeners and our followers on Facebook. We thank God for you. Thank God for this vehicle being called Blog Talk Radio, that we're able to fulfill the commission that Jesus initially made with his disciples when he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. He goes on to say, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he went on to say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And in Luke's gospel he says, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, Luke 24:46. And arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he told those that were there, ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high. And the writer goes on to say, he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So we know that it's none other. Luke, the writer, or St. Luke, or Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, is writing the Gospel according to St. Luke. We know there's only one Gospel, but there are four Gospel writers. We know them as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And also, talking about Luke, the beloved physician, he continued his writing. That is, he wrote the Acts of the Holy Ghost, or the Acts of the Apostles. So the Holy Ghost is working through the apostles whom the Lord Jesus Christ himself chose. So thank God for his word. So it's just good to be here. Just another time to get in the word of the Lord. As David, the writer, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the king of Israel, and he's going to come back and reign again on the new earth. And that is, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So thank God for his word. So the entrance of his word giveth light, gives understanding to the simple. He has magnified all thy word, the writer says, above, magnify thy word above all thy name. So we know as the snow comes down and the rain from heaven that it may give, make it the earth to bring forth and to bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it, and prosper that which I please, saith the Lord. You can find that in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. So thank God for his word. So we've been talking about the Godhead, which this subject cannot be exhausted, which is the God who is the head of all things. Like I've said, those of you that have followed the teaching and weeks past, I had my historian, Elder Ryan Fountain, with me, and he's a history major and also a school teacher and a history major. So it's a blessing to be able to have him the time that I did. So at this particular time, I don't have him with me for some more weeks. School has started back. But anyway, we thank God for all the help, knowing that it's not about us, but it's about getting the gospel out there. So that's what the Lord done. He sent the disciples out two by two. So it's not about one man. It's not about, as we say, my ministry. But we can't even say that like the Apostle Paul said, that it was his gospel, because he laid down his life for the Lord, because he thought that he was doing God's service when he was persecuting those that call on the name of Jesus. We can read in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter, 22nd chapter, and the 26th chapter, when he gave his testimony. And he went on to say in the 20th chapter, none of these things move me. He said he wasn't, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? He said, I'm not only ready to preach the gospel at Jerusalem, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. So he knew what a great reward that he had. And so also, he did write what we call the Pauline epistles, 14 books. So anyway, one of his books, Colossians, or to the church at Colossae, chapter 2 and verse 9, that's when he wrote about don't be deceived and all these things about men, the philosophy men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And Colossians 2 and 9, he went on to say, for in him Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Also in the book of Romans 1 and 20, so it's the latter clause of this verse says, talking about the Godhead, says, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they were without excuse. He's talking about men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And also the other scriptures, only three scriptures in the Holy Writ or the Holy Bible that have the word Godhead. And then the final one is in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the 29th verse. And it says, for as much then as we offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's device, and that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. So that's what the thing that people are fighting against and grappling with, and that is they don't understand the office of the sonship. So that's so very important, and I think we're doing a little repetition here, but one thing about the Bible is 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and you cannot exhaust the Bible. We know there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New, and so you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So that some of you may have known many years ago, there used to be a series picture that used to come on, I believe it was Sunday evenings. It was called Route 66, and that's what I call this, 66 books in the Bible. And so it's so important to understand what is going on and to understand how is it that there is, and the devils know, and James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. So why do the devils know that there is one God? Because that's all they've ever seen is one God. But you got to understand, the 8th chapter of St. John, Jesus called Satan, the devil, a liar. Because they were talking about Abraham was their father, and he was saying, you have your father the devil. You know, he's a liar and the father of it. So the devil knows that there is only one God, but he has people believing that there are three, there are two, but he knows that there is only one God. And that's the greatest revelation, the greatest mystery of all times. And that's why we go out when we use the scripture, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received glory. The subject is not Jesus. The subject is God right there. So we want to understand the office of sonship. So there's really three very important offices that the Lord came and that he is showing himself in. First one is the prophet, the office of prophet, the office of priest, and the prophet priest, and the last office that he's going to fulfill is the office of king, prophet, priest, and king. So we know he died as the lamb. He rose as the high priest. He is the priest that ever liveth now, so saith the Hebrew writer, to make intercession for us. Also, is the same writer who wrote in the book of Romans to the church at Rome. So he is the great high priest, as the writer says in the book of Hebrews, who is passed into the heavens. He's a shepherd. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. He is. I'm talking about Jesus. The captain of our salvation. So that is so very important. So God, you got to understand that God says that the Lord is my name and my glory I would not give to another. So we got to understand. Back then, his name was I Am. Back then, his name was Jehovah. And that's what we talked about on last week, about his name is Jehovah. But Jehovah is become our salvation. So when you follow the scriptures, that's the revelation. He comes right out plainly and says it in the book of Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Matthew wrote the same thing, which is being interpreted, God with us. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So it's very important about the name, and the blood is in the name. It's so very important about salvation is in the name of Jesus. So I might as well come out plain to say, and we have mentioned things about the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost. You can write, you can read about it. Joel 2 and 28 is when the prophecy of the pouring out of the Spirit in the book of Joel shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That happened on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, or that word cloven means divided, set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. So he's not coming as a rushing mighty wind. He's already here. That's why he wrote in the book of Romans, and that's not to everybody. The epistles and the word of God is the children's bread. Those letters were written to people who had already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, who had already been baptized. You want to know how to be baptized? In the book, the Gospels talks about it, what to do. The Acts of the Apostles, after they received the Holy Ghost, after Pentecost, you see the examples of how the only place in the Scriptures they baptized in the name of the one who died for them, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's very important. The devil himself, if he could cut me off right now, he would, and everybody else who's talking about the name of Jesus, because he's a liar, and he knows he's going to the hell hole. He's going to end up in the lake of fire and be tormented day and night forever and ever. He doesn't want people to know about the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the name of the Savior, which is the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus. So that's so very important. So no man can take this kind of honor unto himself. So when you read, it's so much in the Scriptures that you have to be able to break down the Scriptures. So you read in the 40th chapter of the 40th Psalm when he's saying about sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. Also, you read the same thing in the 10th chapter of the Hebrews. So they had a saying, and the saying is true. So there's more wars, the so-called religious wars. But Jesus let them know when they talked about him when he was sitting with the harlots and he was sitting with the sinners. They were saying he was a friend of the publicans and the sinners. And he was letting them know. He got right down to the point. He said, they that are whole need not a physician. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we got to realize that we need him. So this is so very important here in the fifth chapter. There are a lot of things going on here as he's talking. There was a feast at Jerusalem. There was a pool called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, in the fifth chapter of St. John's, where we're talking out of the day. So anyway, without going into the whole story, because time is of the essence, but we go on. There was an angel that went down at a certain season. Whoever stepped in the water first was made whole or whatever infirmity that they have. So they bought in. What a multitude of impotent folk, blind, hard, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So anyway, a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been a long time in that case, saith unto him, he asked him a question, will thou be made whole? The man, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. See that? Only the Lord can heal. Only the Lord can forgive sin. So he goes on, took up his bed and walked the same hour, was the same day was the Sabbath day. So the Jews, they got upset about that. Is it lawful for you to carry thy bed? Afterwards, Jesus finding him in the temple, verse 14, said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And so the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Notice this, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Friend, I want you to know, this is why they, the Jews, the nation of Israel, did not believe or accept Jesus as the Messiah that already came, because they knew terminology. Notice what they said there. He said God was his Father. He was making himself equal with God. Nobody can make himself equal with God but God himself. So then answered Jesus, said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath showed him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth, notice this, whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So, that is so very important. Like I say, that's the office of sonship. They're going to see him. And Zechariah 12 and 10, it's in the Old Testament, Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause say, They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Go back and look at it. Zechariah 12 and 10. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Go back to the first verse, in the first verse in the book of Zechariah, the burden of the word of the Lord. Know who's talking. When you get to the 10th verse, so also it's in the Psalms, and they're going to ask Jesus the question. It's in the book of Zechariah. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And they're going to ask him, When did you get these wounds? They're going to see him in his hands and his side. He's going to reply to them, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So it's going to come to pass. So God's word, like I said, cannot be broken. It's going to come to pass. So the Son, that's why he's committed all things unto the Son, because the Son, he executed judgment because he is the Son of Man. But sometimes you got to realize who's talking. And so even sometimes we don't really realize, even in the book of Matthew, we'll go there, Matthew, the 7th chapter, and Jesus talking here. He's telling them to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many be there to go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Verse 14, and Matthew 7 and 14. So he's talking about few compared to the number that are saved. Beware of false prophets. Notice that. That's a warning. Which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. That's talking about hell. Wherefore, by their fruit shall you know them. Here's what's important right here. Even in the book of Matthew, you got to notice what the Lord is saying. This is Jesus talking. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You got to notice who's still talking. This is Jesus, Matthew 7 and 22. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Notice that, what he said. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. They're going to say this, not him. Then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, he's still talking and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Want to know what that rock is that we need to build on? That rock was Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, says they were baptized with the baptism of Moses, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They drink of that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. There's a word right there people don't like. Oh, we don't want to talk about doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. So very important. That's what the church is built upon. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Apostle Paul says, take heed to yourself and unto doctrine. This is in 1 Timothy. He says, for in doing so, you're going to save yourself, Timothy, and you're going to save them that hear thee. Because doctrine is teaching. We're not teaching ourselves. We're teaching the word of God. We're teaching the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's so very important. So they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So that is so very important. So we want to get back today. We're dealing with these scriptures out of St. John, also some other places that we want to go. So he goes on to say the Father of St. John 8, 5 and 20. I think I left off on, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son. Notice the terminology. Even as they honor the Father, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. So what do? That ETH on the end of believeth, keep on believing. Believeth on him that sent me, have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority, who? The Son, to execute judgment. Because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all they that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Whose voice? The Son. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of myself do nothing. Now he's talking as a man. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Therefore, there is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. So he goes on here, talking about John. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, John was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about John. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the highway for our God, make a desert in the high, a highway in the desert for our God. It's in the 40th chapter of Isaiah when he goes on to say, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be made low, the crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough place is plain. And he goes on to say, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's the forerunner, John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is who he is talking about. So he goes on here, but verse 36 in John 5, I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you, and whom he hath sent, ye have not believed. This is Jesus talking. Here's what I want to key on here. These are my tags for today. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Remember, if you've been following us, they didn't preach Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they were the ones who wrote the scriptures. Just like I say, I'll say it, and there's no contradiction and nothing to apologize for. The word is the word. And that is, they are the job of an apostle was to lay the foundation. One of the jobs of an apostle was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures. They also were eyewitnesses of Jesus. Last of all, the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles, said, last of all, he was seen of me. The Lord revealed himself to the Apostle Paul. So, and another assignment or what happened to a real apostle, that is, they died a horrible death. So there, what I said, and I'm not going to apologize for it, the word says that there are no apostles nowadays. And people, I don't know why they want to do that. I don't want to be one. I want to be what God would have me to be. There are no apostles nowadays. So that was what they did. So when they preached Jesus, they preached him out of the law. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms. Psalm 22 is the very one. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Go on to verse 6. I'm a worm and no man. I'm a reproach of men, despiser of the people. All that see me, they shoot out the lip. All of these, they said he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeth he delighteth in him. You go on. That's the crucifixion psalm. The 22nd Psalm, one of the most important psalms. So that's why they preached him. Those are the scriptures that he's talking about, the prophets, the law of Moses, and the Psalms is where they preached Jesus out of. And those are the scriptures that he's talking about, testify of me. So he goes on to say, you will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. So he's talking about these scribes and these Pharisees here. And so he says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. So really, that's a glimpse on down through time. The Antichrist is going to come. They're going to receive him. And man, are they going to ever be fooled. And you don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. These are the things that we're trying to warn people about now. So as we fly on, knowing our time is quickly getting away, so he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? A question. Do you not think I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Remember, I was saying, he was talking about the prophet shall the Lord God raise up, like unto me, whom him shall ye hear. But if you believe not his writings, talking about Moses, understand the subject, how shall ye believe my words? So this is so very important even here in St. John. But we want to talk about a couple of things here, and that is we want to talk about time is getting away so quick, but we the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God never intended for people to be food. So I believe God had the Word, and also I'm told that the King James Version is closest to the original manuscript. So, so very important words I've been studying and reading the King James Version since 1976, August 11, 1976, when I got saved. I don't think, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't think that is hard to understand. And also, God, when he's dealing with you and bringing his word to you, he brings this word verbatim out of this version, the King James Version. That is the Holy Ghost. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a song we're singing. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's in the form of a question. Are you washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Talking about your righteousness. We have in his righteousness. So we're going on here. He's talking about, this is so very important. He's talking about little children. This is the last time, if you have heard, 1 John 2:18. Little children, is the last time, if you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereof we know that it is the last time. This is what he said way back when he wrote. They went out from us. Who? The Antichrist. That they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. Ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? See, his name ain't Jesus Christ. And he said that to Peter and them in the book of Matthew, when he was saying, he charged them that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So anyway, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, shall abide in you. Now, little children, abide in him, talking about Jesus, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. This is talking, he's not talking about man, because the ministry is in the church. You got to be in a local church as a man of God or the woman of God, because there's neither male nor bond nor free, male nor female in Christ. We're neuter gender in Christ. He's not looking at our gender, but the office that we're in. So a pastor can be a woman. The elect lady and her children in 3 John, that was a woman pastor. But anyway, the ministry is in the church in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. In the local church, the pastor is the teacher. Why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, where we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice that. Unto a perfect man. That's mature. Unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more children, or henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. That means you're unstable. By every wind of doctrine. Notice that word. By the sleight of men. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But here's what you got to have. Speaking the truth in him, you may grow up in him, who is the head of all things, even Christ. That's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at the 11th verse. So that's so very important. So we want to go on here. Here we're talking about, remember Jesus talking about the Father? And I'm telling you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all one, and to understand who's going to come to rapture the church away or catch the bride away. Remember Apostle Paul talked about it in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians? We shall not all sleep. There is wondering. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on corruption. And he goes on to say, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are some quotes from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But I want to move on here, because and then also in 2 Thessalonians 4 and 13. And they go on to say they had a question about those who had fallen asleep in Christ. They wanted to know, like, you know, these people, what is going on with them? They didn't know if they had perished. Because, see, this gospel, this goes on. This is eternity. This is what we're doing with the word of God. Even now, it's judgment work. So this is why the word got to go out. God's word is going out in righteousness. So it's not going to do me any good as a man of God, as a child of God, as a saint of God. You better know you a saint now. That is a lie out of hell that they making a person a saint. You better know you a saint right now. You've been born again. You obey that form of doctrine from the heart, which is the word of God. So anyway, they wanted to know. They were wondering about the people, what had happened to them, those that had fallen asleep. But Apostle Paul says, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that are dead in Christ. And he's going to make that plain, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. So if we believe that Jesus, so he said, that be not ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, hinder them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you imagine, like they said, in the morning when I rise, somebody said in that great getting up morning when I rise, somebody said, I don't want no trouble when I rise. You imagine that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God all simultaneously. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's going to be things happening. I mean, that's why you got to rightly divide the word of the Lord. So all, as you see in one of the Gospels, I believe it's Matthew, says he's going to send his angels to gather together his elect from under the four winds of heaven. So in other words, somebody said, what are we going to be doing? This is after the rapture of the church, after 7 years, when we're going to come back, when the book of Jude says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What are we? That's the second coming, when he comes back to the earth. When he catches away the bride of Christ, which you're going to become the bride 7 years later, you're going to marry the church, or catches away the church, or raptures the church, the first resurrection, that is the appearing. That's what John says. We don't want to be ashamed of him at his appearing. So when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we want to get there too. So here, remember, we're talking about the Father. We're talking about the Son. We're talking about him. He's going to appear. So, beloved, what manner of love hath the Father, the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is in 1 John 3. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, this is what we don't understand. We're not going to be like it is right now. Oh, I haven't seen you in 50 years, so-and-so. No, we're going to be changed. We don't know what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's going to make all things new. I mean, you got to rightly divide the word, the book of the Revelation. He's going to make all things new. Somebody ain't there, we ain't going to be looking for him. We're going to know each other, but if somebody's not there, we're not going to be asking what happened to so-and-so. It's not going to be like that. We're going to be new. So, other words, like I always say, and it's so very important, we got to do like the Apostle Peter said, and he had to take heed to that word himself when he preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. That's why he testified and exhorted, and he said to them Jews and every nation that was under heaven there on the day of Pentecost, because he was the man that had the keys, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You imagine seeing God face to face. We're going to be made like unto him. We're going to have the same glorified body like he has. Because remember what he told Moses in the 33rd chapter of the Exodus? Moses said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. He's saying, there's a place by me. I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the rock. I'm going to pass by you. You can see my hinder parts. No man can see my face and live. He's going to pass by, and he said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. So God is the one that proclaims his name even now. He's got men doing it. So anyway, he goes on. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So it's up to us. We got to save ourselves. And like I said, he didn't die for people to be getting rich off of making records, off of hustling people out of their money, off these so-called seed offerings, which is a lie out of hell, and I'm not going to get hustled no more by the grace of God. No so-called seed offering, that is a lie. Ain't no plant a seed here. No, that's a lie. They had various different kinds of offerings in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's no such thing as a seed offering, and I don't care who it is, and I'm not scared. Now, I got to be like the Lord told Joshua after the death of Moses, be strong and of a good courage. So I'm with you as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. So Jesus gave us the promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Hebrew writer says, be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And that is, I mean, so that's, we got to decrease. So this here, this is in the book of 13 chapter of Hebrews, what I just quoted. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The next verse is a connection. so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. This next verse is so very important. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. So, like I said, you get in that word, you understand what that word says, you're not going to get hustled. That all of these folks, I mean, we got all these so-called specialists on these religious channels on satellite and cable TV just trying to hustle you out of your money. God ain't spoke to them and told them no such of a thing, as the old people say. They are lying. God ain't told them to send nothing. They are liar. And you can't be a jellyback or a weak mind to believe that foolishness. And not only that, for to really get technical, God, like I said before, you look in the scriptures, God only requires the tenth and a free will offering. That offering could be whatever you want it to be. The tenth and a free will offering. God is fair. So whoever these different people are, and I don't want to name names, that are on these various stations, I said they are liar. God ain't spoke to them and told them to do nothing. They are lying. Not the God of glory. Maybe the God of this world, the devil, some lying devil spoke to them. God ain't told them to hustle nobody out of their money. They are liars. And they're doing this in the name of the Lord. And they are liars. They're not preaching the gospel. The gospel is to be preached, not hustling people out of their money. And I'm mad about it. And you should be mad as hell at hell, too, because the truth is going to make you free. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, in St. John, the 8th chapter, then are ye my disciples indeed. In verse 32 in St. John 8, and he went on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, got to know what the word says. So, that's why Apostle Paul was a man that persecuted the church and wasted it, just like he said about, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said it was before all those things that he was, and he went on to say that I did it. I did those things ignorantly and in unbelief. So this is what we have to understand. This man preached Jesus. So he was saying, and I'll find that, 1 Timothy, the first chapter. So he goes on to say, don't want to try to read all of this. Anyway, he was just saying, the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. That means real faith, which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jaggling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedience, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that are defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary, there it is, to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, so that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Here's what he's saying right here, what I mentioned. He said, who was before a blasphemer. This is what Apostle Paul talking about himself. And a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what the gospel is about. Gospel ain't about all these people hustling people and all these folks on there, people screaming when so-and-so got them all, their emotions. They know how to work. They know what buttons to push to work up that emotion. people screaming and carrying on. I mean, you got to rightly divide the word. I mean, we can't do because Elijah told what Elijah said. We can't do what Joshua told the sun to stand still. So I can't just go get that scripture and say, okay, sun, stand still. And so God's going to hearken to my voice, and that's not his will. And then it be, no, the scripture's already written. Said that God never hearkened unto the voice of a man like he did. When Joshua told the sun to stand out still, and it did for a day, and the moon. That means a whole lot of other stuff stood still too. And then see, we can't take the word of the Lord like I Elijah the prophet. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And you read in the book of James, said he prayed earnestly, and it rained again. That was the will of God. Elijah was the prophet of God. I mean, this Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. So we just can't pick up something. What we can do, he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I think it's Mark 11:22. Then he's going on. So that's the key right there. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So when you pray with the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, you're going to end up praying according to the will of God. Not out of your own mind, not out of your own heart. Yes, God can do anything. God cannot fail. God cannot lie. There's nothing too hard for God. But we ask anything, John said, according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. But the key is, it's got to be according to the will of God. That is so very important. So these are a few more things about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know also our time is just about has gotten away. And so we want to probably continue on next week. But anyway, going to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. We know our time is almost getting away. So John said, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ is in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So we know this Alpha and Omega is Jesus. We go up a little farther here. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So we know that our time is about gotten away. So God willing, we'll see you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.